will answer to me. Summer had begun to blossom in the silver marches, lines of cherry trees lining the banks of the great rivers, their petals all fluffy and white. The image struck a tender chord in Catty Bree's heart, reminding her of days long past, of times long lost. And for a moment, the first in a long time, the woman was free of the emotional burden. For a moment, just a few heartbeats, Catty Bree was able to move her fears and regrets for Niraj and Kavita into the back of her mind, and bask in the promise of the companions of the hall, of her father Brunner and friend Regis, and most of all, in the arms of Drizzt. She was a great bird again, a graceful hawk, perched on the branch of a naked dead tree, hanging over the eastern bank of the Cerberin, just a short distance downstream of the stone bridge that spanned the river. She could see the decorated walls bordering the road beyond that bridge, winding back toward the rocky hillsides, leading to, Catty Bree knew so very well, the eastern gate of her beloved Mithril Hall. She wanted to go in there. How she would have loved to see again the hallowed rooms she had called home for so many years. She shuddered as she considered the possibility of standing before her own grave and that of Regis. Her previous body would be in that grave, though no doubt rotted to bones. The thought weighed heavily on her, but only for a few moments. For she was a favored child of Mialiki now, and had seen the world through the philosophy of the goddess, the endless cycle, the eternal existence within physical boundaries to hold the spirit and give it substance and shape. The rotting corpse within the cairn in Mithril Hall could not define her. Not anymore. But still, the thought unnerved her. Despite her devotion and faith in the song she had learned in Uruladun, the Way of Mialiki, Catty Bree didn't want to stand before that grave. Not then. She simply wasn't ready. The hawk spread its wings and lifted off into the air, across the river and beyond. To the west, ever west. Catty Bree was barely out of sight, flying off, when a caravan rolled along the road on the eastern bank. The dwarves across the bridge called out as the lead wagon made the bridge, but they were cheering, not demanding identification, for the lead wagon flew a pennant well known to the folk of Mithril Hall. Beside the driver of the fourth wagon sat a young red-bearded dwarf who had to remind himself to breathe as they rolled across that bridge. As they wound their way to the great doors of Mithril Hall, the kingdom he had twice ruled. Part 4. The Road to Kelvin's Cairn. Is there any greater need within the social construct than that of trust? Is there any more important ingredient to friendship or to the integrity of a team? And yet, throughout a person's life, how many others might he meet who he can truly trust? The number is small, I fear. Yes, we will trust many with superficial tasks, but when we each dig down to emotions that entail true vulnerability, that number of honest confidants shrinks dramatically. That has ever been the missing ingredient in my relationship with Dahlia and in my companionship with Artemis and Treri. As I consider it now, I can only laugh at the reality that I trust in Treri more than Dahlia, but only in that I trust him with matters of mutual benefit. Were I in dire peril, would either rush to my aid? I think they would, if there were any hope of victory, but if their help meant true sacrifice, wherein either of them had to surrender life to save mine, well, I would surely perish. Is it possible that I have grown so cynical that I can accept that? Who am I, then? And who might I become? I have forgotten that I have known friends who would push me out of the way of a speeding arrow, even if that meant catching the missile in their own bodies. So it was with the companions of the hall. All of us, for each of us. Even Regis. So often did we tease Regis, who was ever hiding in the shadows when battle was joined, but we knew with full confidence that our halfling friend would be there when the tide turned against us, and indeed, I have no doubt that my little friend would leap high to intercept the arrow before it reached my bosom at the willing price of his own life. I cannot say the same of this second group with whom I adventured. And Trary would not give his life for me, nor would Dahlia, I expect. Though in truth, with Dahlia, I never know what to expect. Afrafrenfir the monk was capable of such loyalty, as was Ambergris, the dwarf of Adbar. Though whether I had earned that level of companionship with them or not, I do not know. And Efren, the twisted warlock? I cannot be certain, though I surely doubt that one who dabbles in art so dark is a man of generous heart. Perhaps with time this second adventuring group will grow as close as the companions of the hall. And perhaps in that tightening bond there would come selfless acts of the highest courage. But should I spend 100 years beside them, might I ever expect the same level of sacrifice and valor that I had known with Brunner, Catti Bree, Regis, and Wulfgar? In a desperate battle against seemingly unwinnable odds, could I move ahead to flank our common enemy with full confidence that when it came to blows, these others would be there beside me, all in to victory or death? No. Never. This is the bond that would never materialize, the level of love and friendship that rises above all else, even the most basic instinct of personal survival. When I learned of Dahlia's affair with Entreri, I was not surprised, and not merely because of my own role in driving her away. She made of me a cuckold, something Catti Bree would never have done under any circumstance. And I was not surprised at the revelation, for this basic difference between the two women was clear for me to see all along. Perhaps I deluded myself in the beginning with Dahlia, blinded by intrigue and lust, or by the quaint notion that I could somehow repair the wounds within her, or, most likely of all, by my need to replace that which I had lost. But I always knew the truth. When Efren told me of her dalliance with Entreri, I believed him immediately because it resonated with my honest understanding of my relationship and of this woman. I was neither surprised nor terribly wounded. However I lied to myself, however I tried to believe the best of the woman, this was who I knew Dahlia to be.